Our first reading is Paul's letter to the Church of the Ephesians, chapter 1 and verses 3 to 14. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his good plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark, chapter 6, reading from 14 until 29. I'm going to read the previous verse as well because it makes sense. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and that is why these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing he was a righteous and holy man, and kept him safe. When he heard him, he was much perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, I will grant it. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you even half my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptizer. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard and gave orders to bring his head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let me pray as we get started. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take these words and use them for your glory for us this morning. Amen. Well, imagine me looking in my diary, seeing that I was preaching this morning, thinking, before I go away, I'll have a quick read of the passage. Excellent. It's the beheading of John the Baptist. That's an easy one for us for a Sunday morning. How can we learn of Christ through this passage? And actually, as you'll know a lot, this is the time of people getting ordained. So I thought we must all spare a thought for every new curate around the land who is opening up their preaching ministry with John the Baptist's beheading. In fact, a friend of mine, she said that she was meant to be leading kids' church this morning, but they very wisely decided to go with the Ephesians passage. Okay, well, who is this Herod? Maybe you know your Herods from your other Herods. I didn't. I assumed that this was the same Herod who was the perpetrator of the slaughter of the innocents at the beginning of Matthew's gospel. But it is not that Herod. It is his son. So we've moved on a Herod, and this Herod is the king. So that's who he is. That's who we're talking about. And one of the big questions, which is throughout all of Mark's gospel, is who is Jesus? And just sort of a little bit before the passage for us this morning is the calming of the storm, where the disciples see Jesus standing up and quieting the storm and the water. And they ask themselves, who is he? Even the winds and the storms obey him. And in the passage immediately preceding ours, it's the passage about Jesus being a prophet without honor. And Mary very helpfully read that final verse just to give us an idea of what had been happening and what Jesus had been doing. And in that, the people ask each other, where did this man get these things? So here we see what Herod thinks. Who is Jesus to Herod? And we get his answer, and we also get to see the motivation behind his answer. The beginning of the passage, it's the discussion, who is Jesus? And some say Elijah, some say a prophet, and Herod says, it is John the Baptist who I beheaded. Now, it's not an unrealistic suggestion. And in other moments where people are unsure of who Jesus is, John the Baptist is a very, you know, normal suggestion to make. And it makes a lot of sense. Jesus has been going around performing miracles, telling people to repent of their sins. John the Baptist's ministry was calling the people to repentance. But is Herod's response a deeply thought through view? Is Herod recognizing that sense of the divine that is in Jesus? No, he's not. What is Herod motivated by? What is at the core of every decision that Herod has made? He's motivated by fear. We delve more deeply and we see the reason for this in this passage, because we get the backstory of why Herod is suggesting that Jesus is John the Baptist, who he beheaded. And we get a flashback. Now, I don't know about you, sometimes I can follow the flashbacks when I'm watching a film and all of a sudden we've gone back 25 years. Sometimes I have no idea what's happening. But in this one, we have the discussion about who is Jesus. And we have Herod suggesting it's John the Baptist. And then we see what led Herod to behead John the Baptist. Now, Herod has married his brother's wife. His brother is still alive, and he is also married. Now, divorce is mentioned in the Bible, and we know that it's something that Jesus spoke about, where he offered certain circumstances where divorce is permitted. But this is not one of them. This is pure lust. So John the Baptist has gone to Herod and he's challenged him on it. And Herod has recognized that John is a holy and righteous man. He wants to listen to him. He wants to learn from him. But he doesn't want to hear any commentary on his marital decision. He doesn't want to be challenged on his sin and told that he's not living his life within the laws that God has given him. Well, how relatable is that? How many of us respond positively to one of our friends or family members when they say, do you know what? Maybe you shouldn't have said that. Maybe that wasn't very kind. Maybe that wasn't very Christ-like for you to behave in that way. I have a wonderful Kiwi friend called Mike. And we'd be in social situations, and I'm sure you can't imagine, but sometimes my mouth would get the better of me, and I would say something that wasn't particularly wise. And afterwards he'd say, Kate, I just have to tease you about that. And he didn't mean tease. He meant, maybe you should apologize to that person for what you said. I hated it every time he did it, but he was always right. And how wonderful and loving it was for me that I had a friend who wanted to help me chase holiness, who wanted me to live the best life possible, living within God's will for me. And if we have those people in our lives, then we should rejoice for them. We should thank God that there are people who we are living our faith alongside, who want us to be more Christ-like. I was chatting with a friend recently about a slightly strange friendship I had and asking for her advice. And she was so clear and concise that actually this was a friendship that probably needed to end. And it pinched me, but I was so grateful because she loved me enough to tell me and to give me the push that I needed. Think of the courage that would have taken for John the Baptist to approach Herod and to speak to him about his marriage to Herodias. And as Herod looks back on these events as part of the conversation of who Jesus is, we can see him wondering and reflecting on his behavior. He has a fear of John the Baptist coming back, because he knows that he did the wrong thing. And the second way that Herod is motivated by fear is because of his fear of Herodias, his wife, and the opinion of the people at the party. Because then we get back to the party and what happened. It doesn't say this in Mark, but it's actually Herod's birthday party. Now, it's my birthday coming up at the end of the month. There will be no beheadings. And we see Herod's need and desire to be liked and approved of. Herodias' daughter dances for him, and he is so pleased by this that he promises her anything. Big mistake. Huge. Because the two women, Herodias and her daughter, scheme together that they can finally get rid of the man who's been telling Herod that they shouldn't be married. And the daughter, Salome, comes to Herod and she asks for the head of John the Baptist. And we know that Herodias has held a grudge against John since he criticized her marriage. And we know that Herod recognizes that John is a righteous and holy man and he wants to keep him safe. But does Herod say no? Does he say, oh, sorry, I promised you too much. Obviously, I didn't mean murder. Because we see Herod's other fear. He has a fear of people's opinions. He wants to give these two important women in his life what they want. And he doesn't want to look weak in front of the crowd who've come to his birthday party. He doesn't want to seem like he's not a man of his word. So he says yes. He takes the life of an innocent man. He murders him and presents his head on a platter to the two women he's trying to please. And because he doesn't want to seem that he isn't a man of his word. And it makes us think, who is Herod living for? Who is Herod seeking to honor? Does Herod have a sense of right and wrong? Because it seems that he's rudderless. He's living without a root. Think of a plant. Sometimes, very occasionally, I do some weeding, and I won't really have watered my plants very much, but the ones that haven't got any root, they just come out, don't they? Because they're not planted in anything. Herod is so easily sent from one direction to another direction because he wants to please people and he can't please everybody. So although he gets that John the Baptist is holy and righteous and from God, and although his heart wants to listen to him and his desire is to keep him safe, when these two women who are really important in his life, come and ask for him, he doesn't say no. And last week at the 11 o'clock and 6 o'clock service, Will was talking about how we as believers should be living to please an audience of one. And that really struck me because we can all be people pleasers, can't we? We can all be people who, although we feel uncomfortable about what we're being asked, don't like to say no to someone. I used to work with a friend who could never say no, so she wanted to sign up for an assertiveness course at school, but the problem was she therefore had to put her name, and she wasn't assertive enough to sign up for the assertiveness course. We have to be people whose root is in God, whose are so deeply embedded that when someone is pulling us in one direction or another, we stand firm and we have a sense of what is of God and what isn't of God. So I wanted to end by asking us all to close our eyes and to think to ourselves, where are you rooted? What are you fixed into? Who are you living to please? Who are you living to serve? Is there any part of your heart that needs to be dug up and re-rooted into God and to into his good and loving character? And I'm going to pray for us as we end. Heavenly Father, help us to not be like Herod. Help us to be people who know you and recognize who you are and recognize that you are a holy, living, loving God. And that the most amazing, the most fulfilling, the most beautiful way for us to live our lives is to live them totally rooted and fixed in you and in who you are. Please help us to grow more and more Christ-like as we chase you in our lives. Amen.